We know that Yerushalayim is extremely important, not only as Ir Habira, as a city that brings everyone together, and religiously is going to be significant to all religions, but we're going to see that in Judaism, it plays a very specific role. And not just, I would say, a role that is going to come across at the time of Yom Yerushalayim, but something that we have to be thinking about every day, perhaps even three times a day, as all our tefillot are ultimately going to be directed to Yerushalayim. So we begin by asking the question, what is the religious significance of Yerushalayim? Why is it that as a people we fight for the city, we literally die for the city? What is so significant about Yerushalayim? So we're going to try to explore this through the various mikorot, through the sources that you have before you, basically telling a few tales of Yerushalayim, because this is a city, as we'll see in particular, of two tales that are going to teach us what is the religious significance of the city and how we're supposed to incorporate the significance in our daily lives. So we begin with the first source, with the Midrash in Bereishit Rabbah, where we find that there are 70 names to Yerushalayim. Anyone know some of the names of Yerushalayim, some of the synonyms? We also call Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, beautiful. And Tzion, beautiful. And Ariel, Mitsuyan, think of Habira. Again, we even think of the Mizmor that we say every Monday, which was a Mizmor that the Leviim would use to greet people who would come to Yerushalayim. And they would say, come, we're going to give you a tour of the city. Yefei Nof, Misos Kol Haaretz, Har Tzion, Yarkitei Tzafon, Kiryat Melech Rav. Again, the city has so many beautiful accolades that are attributed to it. And yet the Midrash says, out of all the 70 names, what do we in fact call the city? Yerushalayim. Why is that? For the basis, as the Midrash says, in actually two names. Avraham kara oto yirah, shenemar vayikra Avraham shem hamakom hahu, Hashem yirah. So very interesting play on the words. Avraham called the place Hashem shall see, Hashem yirah, which really means Hashem shall be seen. So one name is yirah, which also could be read as we did yirah, but Shem, whom Chazal understand to be a conservation of the personality of Malki Tzedek, Shem kara oto shalem, shene'emar Malki Tzedek melech shalem. So what do you know? That really the city is based on two separate names, two separate tales, that of Avram at the time of Akedat Yitzchak, calling it Yerah, and Malki Tzedek, who calls it Shalem. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a beautiful midrash. Im kore ani oto yirah yirah kishem shekara oto Avraham, shem adam tzadik mitraim. If I would only name the city based on what Avram called it, yirah, then Malki Tzedek justifiably would be upset. Vim kore ani oto shalem, but if I named it Shalem after the name that Malki Tzedek afforded the city, Avraham Adam Tzadik Mitraim, then Avraham, who is a righteous individual, he would have reason to be upset. Ela hareni kore oto Yerushalayim, kamo shekaru shnehem yirah shalem. So Hashem says, I'm going to conjugate these two words and thereby call it Yerushalayim so that no one will get upset. And this way you'll have a combination of the Avraham Yirah and the Malki Tzedek Shalem. Anything bother you about this midrash? And we're not so familiar with these personalities, but we know Avraham and Malki Tzedek enough to know that they're not the type to easily get insulted. Do you really think that Avraham would be upset if HaKadosh Baruch Hu named the city Shalem after Malki Tzedek? I don't think so. And subsequently, I don't think that Malki Tzedek would really take it too much to heart if the name of the city was ultimately called Yirah. Rather, the Midrash is trying to tell us how important both names and both stories and both personalities and what they represent are to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem did not want to compromise on either name. Hashem saw it as ultimately significant that both names be preserved for generations to come. And this is exactly what we find through combining the name of the cities, thereby the city Yerushalayim. And this is going to be perpetuated throughout various psukim in Tanakh. For example, source number 2 in Sefer Tehillim, we find that even though the name of the city technically is Yerushalayim, at times, Vayhi Bishalem Sukkot, God's domain, God's sukkah, literally is in a place called Shalem, umo'onato b'tzion, and God's home is in Zion. So here we see that the names are going to still be used, even independent one of the other, Zion, Yerushalayim, Shalem, again, these are all the same places. So much so that the Targum Onkelos explains, isn't that interesting that we still call the name of the place, again, Shalem? And why is that? He says, Malki Tzedek, Malkat Yerushalayim, Afik Lechem Vechemer, Vohu Meshamesh Kadam Elela. So the Targum Onkelos, already in Sefer Bereishit, says that when Malki Tzedek is introduced to us as Melech Shalem, just know that that's the same place that you're going to know as Yerushalayim. Shalem, Yerushalayim, that name will still be preserved, just like the term or the connotation of Yirah, Yira'eh, will still be preserved. For example, in Devrei HaYamim, in the time period of Ezra and Shivat Zion, you're still going to hear about Yerushalayim as a city of Yirah. Vayechal Shlomo livnot et Beit Hashem, and talking about Shlomo building the Beit HaMikdash, we hear Yerushalayim Bahar HaMoriah Asher Nir'ah LeDavid. Notice then the play on words still of Yir'ah and Re'iyah that are used in conjunction with Yerushalayim. So we find that the name of the city is going to certainly be focused on these two words or these two tales of Yir'ah and Shalem. And therefore the Rambam Maimonides, and an ultra-rationalist, even he is going to tell us, Umasoret biyad hakol, source number 5. Everyone knows, he says, it is universally accepted. Shamakom shebanabo Davidu Shlomo hamizbeach begoren aravna, the same place where David and Shlomo are going to build the national altar that will serve as the basis for the Beit HaMikdash, Hu hamakom shebanav Avraham hamizbeach vakaralav et Yitzchak. This is the same place where the story of Akedat Yitzchak took place. So even though it's going to be thousands of years later, keep in mind that Yerushalayim really is based on the story of Akedat Yitzchak. And if that's the case, says the Rambam, then everyone knows the site of Akedat Yitzchak is the same place. Hu hamakom shebanabo Noach sheyatzam min hateva. This is the same place where Noach built his altar. Vu hamizbeach shekrev alav Kayin ve Hevel. And this is a place where Cain and Hevel brought their sacrifices to God. V'ikriv Adam HaRishon Karban K'shenivra. And also, although it doesn't mention this in Tanakh, again, the same place where Adam brought a sacrifice to God when he was created. U'misham Nivra. And it must be that man was actually created from this place. Amru Chachamim Adam Mimakom Kaparato Nivra. Because man is created from the same place, well, he'll be able to also achieve atonement. Man is created from the place where ultimately he'll be able to survive through the practice of bringing karbanot. Man is created and thereby brings a sacrifice in order to ensure his survival. So that's the same place that Cain and Hevel and Noach and Avram were sensitive to. And Yerushalayim then, says the Rambam, dates all the way back to Briat HaAdam, is literally the epicenter of the world, is the core of man's creation. And therefore, we cannot have a city that does not preserve these names, the names of Malki Tzedek, the names that bring us back to the time period of the Avot, the names that remind us, on one hand, of Shalem, of Shlemut, of perfection of the city, but at the same time, that reminds us of the sacrifice of Abraham, Ava Har Hashem Yera'eh. And therefore, says Tosfot, in Masechet Ta'anit, source number 6, the Balei HaTosfot says, therefore, the name of the city is in fact Yerushalayim. Lachain, he says, Einanu notnim yud b'Yerushalayim. Isn't that interesting? Even though we pronounce the city Yerushalayim, we write it as if it's Yerushalayim. So that we'll still be able to appreciate that what were the initial names of the city? Etymologically, Yerushalayim stems from Yerah and Shalem. Nonetheless, says Tosfot, we're going to pronounce it Yerushalayim so that you appreciate that just like one regel or one yad, right? A yad is a hand, one hand is a yad, two hands are yadayim. So you have Yerah, but to enable you to appreciate that we're really going to speak about two stories and two names, Yerah and not simply Shalem, but Shalayim. They're really two separate stories that are going to serve as the basis for the city, and henceforth the religious significance of the city that is going to be perpetuated for time yonder, even through our very pronouncement of the name of the city. Every time we say Yerushalayim, we're alluding to these stories of Yerah and Shalem. And that's exactly what we're going to begin to do right now. Let's explore the tales. Now, technically, by virtue of the name itself, one would argue that we should first explore the name of the city of Yerah. Isn't that what comes first? Yerushalayim. And yet, chronologically, and certainly textually, it's the story of Malki Tzedek that precedes that of Abraham. So we're going to begin in a Tanakh chronological order by first exploring the city of Shalem. Let's try to understand the religious significance based on the name of the city and what we're supposed to be extrapolating from not only the name, but the city itself, as we see in the story of Malki Tzedek. So we begin in Bereishit, Perek Yudalid, where we first hear of this character who's introduced in a very interesting context. So just to remind you, the story actually begins with the name of four strong Mesopotamian kings who are going to engage in war against five kings on the southeastern side of Eretz Yisrael, namely Bera Melech Sdom and Birsha Melech Amorah. I don't even know these characters, and yet the Torah is telling me you're not supposed to like them. How do I know that? Look at their names. Bera, what are you thinking? Ra, Birsha, you can't help it but think? Rasha, that's right, you're not supposed to like them at all. These notorious characters include even Melech Bela Hitzoar, right? We have the name of the city Tzoar. When you hear Tzoar, what are you thinking? Tzar, pain and suffering. And sure enough, the four Mesopotamian kings are going to conquer this area and subjugate the five Mesopotamian kings who, after 14 years of subjugation, are going to rebel. And in the course of the rebellion, the four strong Mesopotamian kings are going to form an alliance and ultimately conquer these five cities, upon which the kings of the cities, Birsha, Bera, they abandon these people. Again, very selfish leaders. They abandon their people, they run away, and then the four Mesopotamian kings are able to take the inhabitants as captives and bring them all the way up north, again, to the areas, as we'll see in just a moment, the areas that we call today Dan. Vayishma Avram ki nishba achiv. And lo and behold, Avram hears that who's one of these captives who has been taken by the kings? His own nephew, Lot. Vayarek et chanichav. And as opposed to Bera Melech Sdom and Birsha Melech Amorah, who have abandoned their people, Avram is going to step up to the plate and he's going to engage in military combat as he takes 318 men with him and is going to pursue all of the kings all the way to the area of Dan and Vayir Defeim Ad Chova Asher Mismol LeDamasek, all the way to the areas of Damascus and Pasuk Tet Zayin Vayeshev Et Kol HaRuchush VeGam Et Lot Achiv Ruchusho Heshi VeGam Et Anashim VeTa'am. And lo and behold, through an ambush attack, surprise attack in the middle of the night, Avram is able to free all of these captives, and now he's on his way back down south, keeping in mind that he lives in the areas of Hebron and Beersheba. So he's going back down south. On the way, who comes out to greet him? We're in Surah 7, Pasuk Yud Zayin. Vayetze Melech Sdom Likrato. Melech Sdom, whom we already didn't like, now comes out to greet Abraham. Acharei shuvo mehakot et kedar lo meret hamelechim esher ito el emek shavehu emek hamelech. Numerous archaeologists say that where is this place where Melech Sdom came to meet Abraham? A flat ground in the middle of the mountains. This is the area apparently near Ramat Rachel. Again, he came in a public arena. Basically, he says, I'm going to meet you by Teddy Stadium, right? In order to make a public announcement. So we're all anticipating, what could it be that this selfish king is going to propose to Avram Avinu? And take a look at what happens in the next pasuk. A frozen frame. We don't hear anything from Melech Sdom. It's almost as if the Torah is saying, let us hold this character in abeyance so that you can appreciate an interesting foil character. And who will that foil character, who will literally serve as the antithesis of the personality of Bera Melech Sdom be? Pasuk Yudchet, O Malki Tzedek Melech Shalem. I don't know this character yet, but I already like him. Why is that? Malki Tzedek. He is a king of justice. What's the name of his city? Shalem, peace, completion, as opposed to Tsoar, as opposed to Bera and Birsha. I now have Malki Tzedek Melech Shalem. And in case I didn't like him enough, look at the next verb, Hotzi Lechem B'yayin. And what is the first act that he's going to engage in? Sharing food and beverage with Aram. After a weary night of fighting, he's going to be the first one to display some basic sense of hospitality and kindness. And in case you didn't like him enough, now you're definitely going to like him. V'hu kohen le'el elyon. And he's a monotheist. Wow, this is extraordinary. Vayibarchehu vayomar baruch Avram le'el elyon koneh shamayim va'aretz. And he greets Avram and basically says, blessed be Avram, to the supreme God who created the Shemayim and Aretz. Perhaps he's warning Avraham, and he knows that Malki Tzedek is about to offer him some type of alliance, perhaps even to promote him to warlord in the area. And Malki Tzedek wants to remind him that his powers don't come from his military prowess at all. Rather, Avraham, make sure that you keep your ego in place. Make sure that you recognize that the strength of your success emanates from God, the supreme God who creates Shamayim and Aretz, and therefore, Ubaruch El Elyon, blessed be that God, Asher Migein Sarecha Biyadecha, who protects you against your enemies, V'yitein Lo Ma'aser Mikol. And Rashi, as we know, quotes the Midrash that says that Avram then shares his Ma'aser with the Kohen Malki Tzedek, but the Ramak, Rav Moshe Kimchi, says, no, V'yitein Lo Ma'aser Mikol, is consistent with the original subject of the pasuk. Who's the one sharing and speaking? Malki Tzedek. Malki Tzedek gives a tenth of what he has to share with Avraham. And now that we understand the Malki Tzedek selfless, gracious, monotheistic character, now we're ready to get back to Bera Melech Sdom. Let's take a look at him. Pasuk Chaf Aleph. Vayomer Melech Sdom al Avraham. Now that frame is going to be active again. Melech Sdom tells Avraham, take a look at the first word that comes out of his mouth. What is that? Tena. Not let me give you, but rather Tain Li. You give me something. There, that's a selfish personality corroborated. Tain Li HaNefesh Baruchush Kachlach. Give me my people back. Because he understands that he can't be a king, he can't be a lord without having citizens to rule over. And therefore, he implores of Avraham, you give me something and you can keep all the spoils. And Avraham has learned from Malki Tzedek. And notice how he employs the same terminology. He tells Melech Sdom, Harimoti Adi El Hashem, here are Malki Tzedek's words, El Elyon Kone Shamayim Va'aretz. I lift my hands up to God, almost like the quarterbacks. Oh, Gana, that touchdown was God's, right? That must be what they're saying. I'm not so sure. But basically what we find is Harimoti Adi El Hashem. My hands go up to God. I know that I'm not going to attribute this victory to me. And therefore, if you want to propose any type of alliance, you want to have some type of military partnership, Melech Sdom, no, you can forget about it because God is really the one that I submit to. I don't want you to think that you're the one responsible for my wealth. Notice that Avram is willing to forfeit all the spoils of war. By the way, the next perek, right after he does that, what does Hashem tell him? Not to worry, because Geriya Zaracha Ba'aretz Lolahim, Babadum Inuotam Barbameot Shana. For the next 400 years, Avram, you basically are not going to be in control not only of your land, but even over a state of autonomy. But Acharkach, how will they leave? Yetzu Berchush Gadol. You'll eventually get all that rechush and so much more that you just forfeited now. And Avram adds, but at the same time, just like I learned from Malki Tzedek to share with others, I am going to share those that want to take some of the spoils, Aner Eshkol and Mamri, who helped me in my military efforts, they can take Baladai Raka Sherochlu Hanarim, Vechela Kanashim Asher Hochuiti, Aner Eshkol Mamri, Hem Yikhu Chilkam. So here we already see the basis for these two different characters, Malki Tzedek Melech Shalem, representing not only beautiful character traits of selflessness and hospitality, but serving as the antithesis for the selfishness and the lack of awareness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in one's life, represented through Bera Melech Sdom. But the truth is that if we look at all the stories of Sodom, we see that in a very interesting, repetitive manner, the Torah, and for that matter, the Nevi'im and the Ketuvim, are going to go out of their way to help us appreciate the uniqueness of Yerushalayim through contrasting Yerushalayim with the city of Sodom. So let's even go back for a moment to the chapter before Malki Tzedek, where we already heard that Lot, Avram's nephew, instead of choosing the mountain range that Avram proposed he live in so that he'll feel some sense of vulnerability and dependency on the reins of Hashem, what happens? Avram proposes, you take either the south or the north of the mountain range, but instead, source number 8, Pasuk Yud, Vayisa Lot etena vayaret kol kikar ha-yarden kikhola mashke. Lot saw that the entire area of the Yarden, the southeastern Shvela, the plains, the Bik'ah of the Yarden, was a self-irrigated area. He decided not to live a lifestyle that would be dependent on the rains of Hashem, but to live a lifestyle that doesn't require one to be dependent on the rains because you have the natural irrigation of the Jordan. And what does this area remind him of? Kikula Mashke, a self-irrigated area of the land that he just came from, namely Mitzrayim with the Nile. But the Torah tells us he chose this area that doesn't need dependency on the rains from above. So you should just know. Lifnei shachet Hashem et Sodom ve'et Amorah, ki gan Hashem keretz Mitzrayim. He saw the way that it looked before Hashem destroyed the city. In other words, the Torah is already telling us that it looks at first glance as if this is a self-sufficient city. It's a city that doesn't need a relationship with God. But if it doesn't need a relationship with God, then the people are not going to abide by basic godly behaviors. So just know that it's a city that's almost, and we can anticipate for self-destruction. Even though it looks like Gan Hashem, it reminds us of Gan Eden, Keretz Mitzrayim, a self-irrigated area. Boacha Tsoar. Here's the name of that city once more. Gena, that city that certainly, again, is going to conjure certain expressions of Tsa'ar. And as we continue on the next page, Vayivchar lo Lot et kol kikar ha-yarden, Lot chooses to reside in this area. And Pasuk Yud Gimel, just know, Vanshei Sodom ra'im v'chata'im la-Hashem ma'od. What type of people are bred in such a city that doesn't require dependency on God? A sinful, iniquitous people. And if that's how Sodom is introduced to us in the Torah, as a sin-filled city, then let's take a look at Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim will be perpetuated as such as well. Even before it officially becomes a Jewish city, take a look in Sefer Yehoshua, source number 9. Here we hear about the king at the time of Yerushalayim, and what's his name? And the time of Yehoshua's conquest, before he conquers Yerushalayim, it's under Jebusite rule. And the name of the Jebusite leader is none other than someone named Adoni Tzedek. So Ibn Ezra points out, isn't that interesting? That in the time of Avram Avinu, the leader or the ruler of Shalem was Malki Tzedek. Now it's Adoni Tzedek. He says it must be that whoever is the leader of Yerushalayim is always going to be called ruler of Justice, ruler of Tzedek, Shehu Melech Amakom Tzedek, as opposed to Sodom, which we already saw as a place embedded again in sin. Here we're going to find that Yerushalayim is a place associated always with justice. And the Midrash is going to really help us understand this idea by explaining that throughout the generations, the leaders were associated with the place because Hamakom Hazeh Matzdik Et Yoshvav, because there's something about Yerushalayim. If Sodom naturally breeds selfish people because they don't feel any sense of dependency on God, then Yerushalayim will naturally breed, not only because it's in the mountains, but we'll see why in a minute. It will naturally breed what type of people?
Righteous
people. You're all residents of Yerushalayim? Wow. Gana, you're already on a different plane. And years ago, again, I'm not so sure it's really the case anymore, but years ago, the lowest crime rates were, in fact, in Yerushalayim. We have to restudy this. But in any case, Hamakom Hazeh Matzdik Et Yoshvav, there's something about Yerushalayim. It creates a certain persona. It reminds me of when I was pursuing my doctoral studies in the area of Tel Aviv, Bar Ilan,
And I would go on the buses and I would greet the bus drivers. And now repetitively, they would ask me, they said, oh, you're not from the area, at Yerushalmit, nachon? And at first I thought, oh, it must be the Kisoy Rosh. And at one point I asked one bus driver who mentioned this, I said, do you mind if I ask, why do you think I'm a Yerushalmit? And I was so sure he would say, dosit. And he said, no, because you smile and you say please and you say thank you. So I didn't want to tell him that originally I'm from New York, but. And apparently this is a trait of Yerushalayim. And the Ramban elaborates upon this. If you take a look at source number 12, he explains, Malki Tzedek, Melech Shalem, Hi Yerushalayim. That yes, the city itself is associated with personalities like Malki Tzedek, like the term of Shalem. And why is that? So he continues and he says, isn't that interesting that even during the time of Yehoshua, the leader is Adoni Tzedek? He says, because it was a universal cognizance. Everyone knew. Everyone knew. And please keep in mind that the Ramban is already alluding to the fact, Gena living in the 13th and the 14th centuries, he understands that the Muslims already are giving credence to Yerushalayim as an important city. And the Christians, he says, everyone knows that there's something special about this area. O sheyadu malato b'kabbalah. Or they knew also through tradition, we'll see, shehu mechuvan keneged beit hamikdash shel mala. So the Ramban is going to try to explain what is it about the city. It's not the water in the city that makes everyone so righteous. Rather, everyone knew that Yerushalayim is really a reflection of the divine domain up above. That Yerushalayim Shalmata is merely a reflection of Yerushalayim Shalmala. Shesham Shchinatol Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shenikra Tzedek. And if God's domain up above is the source of justice, because it's the righteousness of the divine, then the city down below is a reflection thereof. In other words, there's some dissemination of divine justice that is going to be most concentrated in Yerushalayim. And therefore, he says, the Midrash understands. Hamakom hazeh matzdik et yoshvav. So when you're in Yerushalayim, you're more motivated to be righteous. Perhaps you're more cautious not to speak slanderous conversation. Perhaps you're also a little more cautious to be a little more polite, perhaps. O Malki Tzedek, Adoni Tzedek, Nikrit Yerushalayim Tzedek, Yishayahu will call Yerushalayim the city of Tzedek Yalinba. Everyone knows that this is what Yerushalayim represents. So when we think of Yerushalayim, our first thought, as we began with the initial Midrash, is that one has to be rooted in tzedek. One has to be rooted in values of shalom. That's what we have to think about when we think of Yerushalayim. And we're going to continue to see this with regard to expressions of Yerushalayim. So we turn back to Sefer Bereishit, and if we're meant to appreciate the justice of Yerushalayim through the antithetical city of Sodom, let's see what happens to Sodom. We know that it's destroyed, but how does Hashem divulge to Abraham that it's going to be destroyed? In source number 13, Bereishit Perek Yudchet, we hear that Hashem says, Hamachaseni ma'Avram asher yose, should I not divulge to Abraham what I'm about to do? Va'Avram, ha yo yiyeh l'goy gadol v'atzom v'nevruchu v'kol goyei ha'aretz. Avram is supposed to be the progenitor of all these different nations. Ki yedatzi, because I destined him to be the teacher, l'man asher yitzavet banav et beito acharav, v'shamru darach Hashem la'asot tzedaka u'mishpat. Leman Havi Hashem al Avram et asher diber alav. Avraham, for all the nations, is going to be that bastion of justice, is going to be the progenitor of truth, is going to be the one to establish values of justice. And therefore, I have to teach Avraham not only how to engage in justice, in which case we know that Avraham is going to engage with HaKadosh Baruch Hu with the values of Hashofet kol ha'aretz lo yaseh mishpat. How am I supposed to understand the destruction of an entire city, God? But even more than that, Hashem says, I have to teach Abraham these values by explaining to him what happens when people do not uphold the values of tzedek u'mishpat. And therefore, he explains to Abraham the following, Pasuk Chaf, ויאמר השם זעקת סדום ועמורה כי רבה וחטאתם כי כבדה מאוד. I've heard literally the scream, the cry of Sodom. And there's a famous midrash on this pasuk that says, what is this za'aka? Well, look at the next pasuk. Erdana ve'ere ha'ketza'akata ha'ba'elai asu kala ve'em lo eda'a. Let me descend and see if they're wailing, if her cry which has come to me is really indicative of their conduct. And if so, then I am going to destroy the city. It's the tse'aka, ze'aka of Sodom, that is supposed to send a shiver down our spine, that is supposed to make us realize that one cannot survive without abiding by basic laws of tzedek u'mishpat. So what is considered the undermining of tzedek u'mishpat? This ze'aka, this tse'aka. The Midrash says, why is it a female form? So the pshat is because a city in Tanakh is a female. And yet, Chazal say, it must be that there was a female, a young woman, who gave a morsel of bread to an elderly man passing through the village. And it was found out that this is what she did. And what was her punishment for showing some basic act of kindness? She was covered from head to toe with honey and placed on the top of a building only to be stung to death by bees. And as she's dying, she is screaming. And that cry is what pierces Shamayim. And this is what the Midrash says is indicative of the cruelty of the city. Basically represents the undermining of all values of tzedek u'mishpat. So remember those words. Za'aka and tse'aka are going to represent the character of Sodom, whereas tzedek, mishpat, shalom, are going to be represented by the antithetical characters, namely the foil city for Sodom, Yerushalayim. And we see this throughout the Torah. In Parshat Mishpatim, when we hear about basic social justice laws, what does Hashem say? Make sure that when you offer a loan to a poor person and you ask for a collateral, if the poor person is so indigent that all he has is his clothing and he gives that to you as collateral, what do you have to do? You have to return it by nightfall, because it could be kihiksuta levada hisim latola oro. It could be that that's the only garment he has. Bameishkav, what's he going to go to sleep with at night? He'll freeze. Vahayaki it's akelai, and if he screams to me, in other words, if you do not return the garment, then he will justifiably scream. What type of scream? A scream of injustice. That's the character of Sodom. Bishamati, I'm going to hear him, ki chanunani, because I'm a merciful God. And in case you're not convinced, look at the parallel mitzvah in Sefer Dvarim in the Mishnah Torah. What do we find there? In source number 15, Pasuk Yud Gimel, same mitzvah. If you took a collateral in the form of a garment, now the positive mitzvah, hashev tashiv lo et ha'avot kevo hashemesh, make sure that you return it upon sunset. Vishachab b'salmato, so that he can go to sleep with his garment. Uveirachacha ulacha tiye tzedaka. If you do not return it, it's considered tzeaka, like stone. If you do return it, then it's considered tzedaka, like the value represented by Malki Tzedek Melech Shalem. And therefore, in Sefer Dvarim, we find that Yerushalayim really is not only going to be the place through which human monarchy and divine monarchy is going to be manifest, and it's not only the city, as we know, which is going to serve as the basis for political reign. It's not only the city that, till today, the embassy should move, the embassy shouldn't move. Again, it is a city that represents our religious and social values. And therefore, the Torah tells us in Sefer Dvarim, Ki Palei Mimcha Davar L'Mishpat, if you have any question with regard to social justice, Bein Dam L'Dam, Bein Din L'Din, okay, this we understand with regard to different bloods, Tumah Tahara, oh, of course I'm going to go to the Beit HaMikdash, different dinim. So here Chazal explain, dinim ben adam l'chaveiro, ben nega l'nega, on one hand, the laws of tzara'at that are going to be established through Kohanim and the Mikdash, but also divrei rivot b'sha'aracha, daily disagreements that you may have on a social level. V'kamta v'alita el ha'makom asher yivchar Hashem elokecha bo. Go to that place that God has selected. Go to the place of Yerushalayim. It's not by chance that the Supreme Court building is in Yerushalayim, because this is a city that represents the values, religious, social values of justice. So the Rambam elaborates upon this and teaches us in Hilchot Mamrim that the Beitin HaGadol Shebi Yerushalayim Him Ikar Torah Shebal Peh. It's not just a building, and it's not just the members of the Supreme Court. The 70 plus members of the Sanhedrin are based in Yerushalayim and serve as the pillars of teachings. Umehem Chok Mushpat Yotze L'chol Yisrael. This is where the standards of mishpat, of justice, are going to be perpetuated and are going to be known throughout all of Yisrael. And this is going to serve as the basis, or basically the religious acts dependent on the court system. That's why the Gemara tells us it's not by chance that the name of the mountain upon which the Beit HaMikdash and the Supreme Court, the Sanhedrin, is going to be based is called Har HaMoriah. Why is it called such? Machloke between Rabbi Levi Bar Chama and Rabbi Chanina. One of them says, Har sheyatza mimenu hora'a liYisrael, because it's the source of teachings of social justice. And therefore, don't be surprised then, if throughout history, who are going to be consistently the leaders of Yerushalayim? Well, they have to be people who are not only sensitive, but who are going to ensure upholding these basic values of Tzedek u'Mishpat. So look at Sefer Shmuel Bet, source number 19. What is described about David? When David rules over Yerushalayim, you should just know, Vayimloch David, I'll call Yisrael, Vayhi David, Oseh Mishpat u'Tzedakah l'chol amo. By now, you're not surprised. Of course, David is one who is going to ensure values of Tzedek, of Mishpat. He acts justly and righteously because he's the king of Yerushalayim. So to be a worthy match for the city, what do you have to do? You have to live up to the values that are represented through the city. And so too in Sefer Malachim, do you remember the story of the Queen of Sheba? She comes to Shlomo and she's so impressed with the glory. But what does she say? What am I most impressed with? I'm most impressed that your God chose you to be the king of the city, she says. And not the continuation of source number 20. Pasuk Tet, she says, may your God be blessed, asher chafetz b'cha letitcha al kisei Yisrael, for choosing such an appropriate leader to represent God, basically, in his city, to serve as the king, be'avat Hashem et Yisrael lo'olam, v'yisimcha lemelech lasot mishpat u'tzdaka, by choosing you to represent his values of justice and righteousness. That you, Shlomo, are the perfect person. You are the wise man to administer justice and righteousness, representing the values of the city of God. And therefore, what happens when we don't live up to these values? Well, we don't have to turn far. We look once again in Tanakh, and the famous Perek of Yeshayahu that's read, the Shabbat, as we know, Shabbat Chazon, the Shabbat before Tisha B'Av, that reverberates in our hearts and our minds, as we understand why the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed. And not just the Beit HaMikdash, but the entire city of Yerushalayim that lay in ruins as described by Yirmiyahu in Echa. What does Yeshayahu say? Notice Pasuk Tet. Lulei Hashem Tzvaot Totir Lanu Sarid. Kemat Kistom Hayinu. Lamora Daminu. What does he say to the people? Shame on you. Not only have you not lived up to the values of Tzedek u'Mishpat represented by Yerushalayim, but you have transformed yourselves into our antithetical city. You have gone to the other extreme. You have undermined justice like Sdom and Amorah, which, by the way, is not only a hint to the people imminently, there's going to be destruction, but what else is he trying to say? Aren't you embarrassed? Aren't you embarrassed that you have completely transformed the city into the dark side, into Sdom and Amorah? And therefore, how does he mock the leaders of Yerushalayim? You're not people of Tzedek and Shalom. Shemu dvar Hashem kitzinei Sdom. Hazinu tarat Elokeinu am Amorah. I should just call you leaders of Sdom and Amorah. And in case you're still not convinced, he continues, Echa ital lezona kiryana mana. How did a credible city become so promiscuous? Mileti mishpat. Yerushalayim was supposed to be the bastion of justice. Tzedek yalin ba, says the Navi. Hashem wanted this to be the epitome of a city of justice. Va'atam meratzchim. And now your murderous people. And therefore he says, look at what's happened to Yerushalayim. You have completely undermined the values that Yerushalayim should be standing for. But don't worry, he says. Just because you abrogated these values, just because you did not live by these values, the city still has the potential to be restored. Through whom? Through leaders, through judges, who will ensure the perpetuation of tzedek and mishpat. So one day, says the Navi, Ashiva shovtayach kevarishona, v'yoatzayach kevatchila, acharechen yikarei lach yir hatzedek. You can go back there, because Yerushalayim intrinsically, innately, is a city of justice, kirya ne'mana, tzion b'mishpat tepadei. The only way to truly redeem Yerushalayim is not through palmach units, is not through Yana war, is not through rebellions and rock throwing on Har Habayit. The only way that Tzion will truly be restored is through Mishpat, is if we live up to these values that we stand by so strongly, if we are going to be the ones to teach and to uphold values of justice, v'shaveha v'tzdaka, then we will return through these values as well. And that's not only what Yeshayahu tells us at the beginning, but notice what he tells us in source number 22. In a parakeh, he says similarly. He says, let me tell you then a beautiful poem, a mashal, of how Hashem planted a vineyard. And he's referring to Hashem's painstaking efforts in bringing Am Yisrael to Eretz Yisrael and literally planting us in Yerushalayim. And then he tells us in Pasuk Zayin, Hashem was hoping that we would be a blossoming vineyard and we would produce the finest of wines. In other words, the finest fruits, the finest acts. Ki kerem Hashem tzvaot beit Yisrael v'ish Yehuda netasha shuav. But instead we veered off of this path. V'yikav l'mishpat. Notice the beautiful poetic play on words of Yeshayahu. God anticipated mishpat v'hine mispach. What's mispach? Even in modern Hebrew, pach is garbage. God anticipated beautiful justice, but instead we turned it, we just changed around one letter, and it became garbage. It became thorns. Litzdaka. God anticipated a city of tzedaka. God anticipated Malki Tzedek-type personalities. But what ended up happening? Don't be surprised. We just changed around one letter, and instead of living by values of tzedaka, vihine, tse'aka. And you already know, what is that term tse'aka associated with? Hakitzakata, that's the scream of injustice represented by stone. And Yirmiyahu tells us as well in source 23, Perek Lama Gimel, one day, not to worry, one day, there's going to be someone who represents those values again, like David. Tzemach tzedaka, v'asa mishpat utzdaka ba'aretz. We need leadership, religious leadership that is going to stand by these social values of tzedek and shalom. And then, bayamim ha'hem tivasheya Yehuda v'Yerushalayim tishkon la'vetach, only then Yerushalayim will be secure. Because then we'll be able to recognize God, our righteousness. That's when we're going to be reassociated not only as a city, but as a people of tzedek u'mishpat on a universal plane. And Navi after Navi, and really we can spend many more hours, not to worry, many more hours going through Tanakh, seeing these consistent ideas, but Hosea as well, and the psukim that are recited, as one wraps oneself up in tefillin every morning, verastich li la'olam. What do we tell Hashem? Hashem says, I'm not going to betroth you, I'm going to wrap you up, literally tie you with me forever. With what values? With tzedek and mishpat and chesed and rachamim. This is how we fulfill imitatio Dei to its finest. If we imitate God through these values that are represented through the city of Yerushalayim, of tzedek and mishpat, and we'll just prove it through a very popular song of the Beit HaMikdash. As I mentioned, on Mondays, the Levium would sing. Apparently, that was the day for tour groups to come. And Levium would come and I'd take them around Har HaBayit and help them appreciate Yerushalayim. And one of the most famous songs that would be sung, as we know, is Tehillim Kuf Chaf Bet, particularly by people who were excited at the time of Aliyah LaRegel. So let's analyze this beautiful poem, Shir HaMa'alot LeDavid, Samachti Ba'omrim Li Beit HaShem Nelech. The Mishorer The poet is so excited, he says, I would be happy, ba'omrim li, when my friends would invite me and say, Beit Hashem Nelech, not let's go to the mall, not let's go see a movie, but what would they say? Let's go to the Beit HaMikdash. He said, that's what would get me excited. Now notice that he doesn't say that I would be happy when I would go to the Beit HaMikdash. What already is going to enthuse him? His friends, beautiful. That part of the experience was the social nature. He says, I love the fact that this is what we're going to do together, that we're all going to the OU Center for a shiur on Erev Pesach. And then he describes the sentiment. He's obviously been to Yerushalayim before, but the excitement has not waned. And he says, we would get to the outskirts of Yerushalayim and just stand there and stare. Have you all been there? Right? Even on a daily basis. You don't get tired. He says, Yerushalayim habnuya ki'ir shechubra la yachtav. Yerushalayim is a city that chubra la yachtav, Chazal explain, she'osim kol Yisrael chavirim. It's a city that helps us foster peace because it's a city that brings everyone together, regardless of what they have or don't have on their head, regardless of what they look like, regardless of their religious practices. It's a city that reminds us that we're all chavirim. Then, Sheshama Lushvatim Shifteya Idut Yisrael Lahodot L'Shem Hashem. This is where everyone comes together to praise God. And this one I tell people, when you're looking at Yerushalayim, or if we would go around and I would ask you, when you come to Yerushalayim, what are you most excited to see? What leaves the most lasting impression upon you? What is really the hallmark of coming to Yerushalayim? What would you all say? The Kotel. Gen Harabayit. So I'm expecting him to say, and I can't wait to come to the Beit HaMikdash and look at the Beit HaMikdash from afar. But take a look at Pasukei. He says, do you want to know what excites me most about Yerushalayim? You ready for this? Ki shama yashvu kisot lemishpat, kisot lebeit David. He says, I love the courthouses of Yerushalayim. And you're thinking, well, the truth is, the Supreme Court building is a very nice building. Yeah, architecturally, they invested a tremendous amount, but I don't think any of us would say that, you know, that's our highlight. I think most of the Noir today would say, looking at the Supreme Court building, they look across the bridge and they see Cinema City. Like, oh, that's a nice place. Yeah, but notice that the Mishawer says, I'm so excited because that's what Yerushalayim reminds me of. It reminds me of a system of justice. Shalush Shlom Yerushalayim. So he turns to his friends and he says, so now let's ask for what Yerushalayim is supposed to represent. Let's ask for shalom. Yehi shalom b'chilech shalva b'armanotayach. L'man achai v'rei'ai adabrana shalom bach. L'man beit Hashem Elokeinu avaksha tov lach. If we can foster peace in Yerushalayim, then he's convinced that that peace can spread throughout all of Am Yisrael. Because that's what Yerushalayim represents. But if you remember from our introduction, that's only one side of the religious aspect of Yerushalayim. But there's another. There's the Abraham story and the Abraham persona. Abraham, kara oto yera'e. Abraham says, this is the city of God, where God will be seen. So let's explore that story at all in order to, let's explore that story as well in order to complement the first part of the Shi'ur, Anna, the first aspect of Yerushalayim. So we could and should really begin with the story of Bereishit Perek Chaf Bet, but already in Sefer Dvarim, we understand the same Sukkim that spoke to us about Yerushalayim being a bastion of justice also reminds us that Yerushalayim is the place where one follows the edicts of God. And even if one has other ideas as to how to worship God, what do we hear about in Dvarim Perek Yud Bet? We hear in source number 26, that when you go up, particularly to Yerushalayim, to HaMakom HaShe Yivchar Hashem, not only do you have to rid yourselves of Avodah Zarah, of literally, again, idolatrous practices or worshiping of other gods, but Lo Tasun Chen LaHashem Lokechem. Don't even worship gods through creative means that are employed in worshiping of other gods. You may think that a rain dance may be very nice. You may think that standing on a rooftop with a tambourine is what God wants from you. You may think that standing on your head and spinning nickels is really, again, what is requested. Hashem says, no. Lo tasun chen l'Hashem Elokechem. When you go to the makom asher yivchar Hashem, when you come to Yerushalayim, and you go to the place that's selected by God, lasum et shemo sham l'shechno tidrashu. What should you have in mind? Seek out God. Don't ask yourself, what do I want? What do I want to do here? What would make me feel good? How do I want to worship God? Don't ask yourself that. The Torah says, what should you be asking when you come to Yerushalayim? What does God want from me? How does God want me to worship him? Because otherwise, it's really self-worship. And therefore, lo tasunchem la'Hashem Elokechem, stay away from everything else. Just follow the edicts of God. Perek Yud Gimel, et kol hadavar asher anochi mitzaveh etchem oto tishmeru lasot. Lo tosif alav ve lo tigram mimenu. Don't add, don't detract, just follow the edicts of God. And this really is established already in the story of Akidat Yitzchak. So now we revisit that story as we look at source number 27, Bereishit Perek Chaf Bet, and we hear, Vayi achar hadvar ma'ele velukim nisat Avraham, vayomer elav Avraham, vayomer hineni. Avraham already expresses through the words, hineni, hine ani, I am here, God. I am at your service. I am ready to perform whatever it is that you ask of me. I am not only here with alacrity, I am here waiting to put you first. So Hashem says, wonderful, kachna et bincha et yechitcha asher ahavta et yitzchak. In the same tone even that Avram had heard, lach lecha me'artecha mimoladetcha mibeit avicha el ha'aretz asher areka. In the same meter that Avram was told that he has to sacrifice his entire past for the sake of a future, here he hears that he has to sacrifice his entire future for the sake of a big question mark, but basically the ratzon of Hashem, what God has mandated of him. Take your son, your only son, the son that you love, velech lecha, I always imagine Avram saying, oh no, not that again, el eretz hamoria, v'aleo sham la'ola, alachad arim asher omar elecha, remember, el ha'aretz asher areka, now to one of the mountains that I tell you. And how does Avram respond? With a concentration of verbs, with tremendous rizut, alacrity. Vayishkem Avram baboker vechavoshet chamoro, vayikachat shnei naravito, vetyitzchak beno, vayivakatzeu la, vayakam vayelech ela makom asher amar lo Elokim. He does what God has asked of him. And even if one cannot can see this, even as Avram distracting himself from thinking about it too much, we know that it's going to take him 3 days of mental deliberation. Is this really what God wants from me? Is this not what God wants from me? How is God going to fulfill the promises of a great nation and a land if I'm supposed to sacrifice my child? But nonetheless, he puts God's command first. Ana vayaret hamakom mirachok. He is not only seeing. Vayisav Avraham et einav. He is seeking what God could want from him. Vayomar Avraham al na'arav, shvu lachem po im hachamor, v'ani v'nar nelcha ad ko v'nishtachave v'nashuv alichem. And once again, Avram takes all the materials, the eitz, ena, the ola, v'yasam al Yitzchak b'no, v'yikach b'yado et ha'ish, and the ma'achelet, v'yachush nehem yachdav. And Yitzchak, somewhat innocently asks, but Abba, Avi, vayomer, hineni b'ni. Avraham, again with that word hineni, says, I'm also here for you as a father, my son. And this is where we feel the internal dialectic of Avraham, an internal dialectic that we definitely feel in a much more diluted sense, perhaps, every time we have a conflict of interest. God wants X, but I may want Y. God wants me to sacrifice my son, but I'm also here as a father for my son. And Avraham feels that internal tug of war. Vayomer hinei ha'ish v'aitzim v'ayah ha'sel la'ola. Abba, all the materials are here. Where is the seh? And Avram says, Elokim yirelo haseh la'ula b'ni. God will see. He already knows that God has anticipated everything. I'm going to follow the edicts of God. And he comes to the place again, asher amar lo Elokim. And he establishes the altar and he places Yitzchak upon the altar. And then in a slow motion fashion, Pasuk Yud, Vayishach Avraham et yado, Vayikach et ha-machelet, he takes a flesh consuming knife, Lishchot et b'no, Vayikrai lav malach Hashem min ha-shamayim, Vayomer Avraham, Avraham, Vayomer hineni. Avraham has said to God at the onset, I am here for you. But then he's also told his son, I'm here for you. Little problem. If he's here for God, he can't be here for his son. If he's here for his son, then he won't worship him. He won't sacrifice him, and he won't be here for God. Which hineni has Avram chosen? I'm here for God. Vayomer hineni. And at that moment, the malach says, then stop. Al tashlach yetzal hana'ar ve'al ta'as lo mu'uma. Because what does God now see? That you put him first. Ki ata yadati ki yirei Elokim ata. God sees that you truly fear him. And what's ironic is that the term Yirat Elokim is used throughout Sefer Bereishit also to depict a certain standard of morality. And here, the Malach is saying, what is morality? Morality is absolute morality defined by God. And that's what you know how to follow, Avraham. You are, in fact, a Yirei Elokim. You know how to follow the edicts of God. And take a look at what Avram does. Avram is going to take the ayal and sacrifice him tachat beno. And then, a play off of the words of ri'iyah and yir'ah. Avram understands that Hashem yir'eh. Hashem sees. What does Hashem see? Hashem sees people who are Yirei Elokim. Avram now understands, why did God bring him to this place? Because this is a place where God waits to see, are people going to follow the mandates of God? Are people going to truly put God first in their lives? And if they do, then what happens? Number one, Hashem Yirei. Hashem shall see. Hashem looks out for you. But then adds the Torah, Asher Yamer Hayom Bahar Hashem Yeira'eh. This is also the place where Hashem will be seen. This is a place of a relationship with God. Who starts? Ya'aleh. We have to come up to God. We have to follow the edicts of God. Mi ya'aleh Bahar Hashem? Niki chapayim, uvar levav, asher lo nasa lashav nafshi v'lo nishba limirma. We take the first steps by purifying ourselves in action, in thought, in speech. And then, Vayavo, Melech, Melech. Then, the God will come. That's when Hashem reveals himself, Hashem Yireh. Vayavo, Melech HaKavod. Then, the God of glory will see us, and then we will be seen. Mahar Hashem Yireh. We'll be seen by God, and then God will be seen by us. A beautiful dynamic relationship that is manifest predominantly in Yerushalayim, that is represented through the Yerushalayim that Abraham taught us, is a place where we come and we submit ourselves to the will of God. As Rashi beautifully says, take a look at all the verbs that are used. Har Hashem Yireh, Hashem Yireh Lo Haseh. Hashem will see and select. Hashem Yireh, Hashem Yivchar Lahashropo Shechinato Olakribo Karbanot. There's something special about Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim, more than any other place in the world, is the place where God waits to see us, where God waits for us to come to show God that He is the center of our lives, to show us that we live a theocentric lifestyle, that we put God first. And maybe that's why, even though the city is going to represent both the values of Ben Adam Lamakom of Yireh, but at the same time, Ben Adam Lachavero of Shalom and Tzedek, maybe that's why the order is switched. Instead of calling the name of the city Shalem Yir'ah, you can try it 20 times, it still won't sound natural. Yeah, now we call it Yir'ah Shalem, Yerushalayim, because fear of God, that basic mandate, that basic cognizance of God and God's will being at the epicenter of what is going to qualify Judaic belief and practice, that's what has to come first. First comes, really, the religious aspect of Yerushalayim. It's a place of Yirat Hashem. It's a place where God waits to see our fear and our observance of mitzvot. And when that happens, Hashem Yireh. Hashem sees that, and then Bahar Hashem Yira'eh. And then Hashem can be seen by us. Then there's a dynamic relationship. And therefore, we're going to prove right now that the Torah, the Nevi'im, and ultimately till today, we understand that Yerushalayim is not only the literal heartbeat of the Jewish people in terms of the geographic epicenter of the world, but we believe that it's the heartbeat of our religious nature, that this is what qualifies us more than any other city, because this is what qualifies what Judaism and what Am Yisrael stand for. And that's why when Malchut is first established, we need representatives. We need another Avram-type personality and another Malki Tzedek-type personality to show us what a unified Yerushalayim is all about. What an ir shechubra la yachtav, not only a city that brings people together, but a city that brings these two religious values together. The value of obeying the mandates of God and simultaneously the value of social justice. So let's take a look in Sefer Shmuel. First, we hear about the king who ultimately is going to conquer Yerushalayim. We hear about David. We hear how Shmuel is told by God, time to anoint a new king because I don't like the Shaul types. And lo and behold, Shmuel comes to Beit Lechem and he calls upon the sons of Yishai. And he sees the tall, dark, and handsome older children of Yishai. And Hashem tells him, no. Al tabet al mareo vel gova kamato. Shmuel, you're the ro'eh and you're using your ri'iyah incorrectly. Don't look at his external appearance, ki me'astihu, because he reminds me of Shaul. I don't like those types. And please remember, ki lo asher yireha adam, ki ha'adam yire'el le'inayim, v'ashem yire'el le'levav. What does God see? God doesn't look at your external appearance. We already know this from Bereishit Perek Chaf Bet. What is God waiting to see? Your yire'ah. God is waiting to see what's in your heart. So sure enough, child after child, Avinadav comes and Shmuel says, no, gambazel lo bachar Hashem. The same words from Yana, from the story of the Akedah, gambazel lo bachar Hashem be'ele. Until David appears before Shmuel, Pasuk Yudbet, Vayishlach v'yevyeo v'hu admoni. And now we see ruddy David im yefeh enayim. This always bothered me. We really have to hear that he has nice eyes. What are we all picturing, by the way? Glistening blue eyes against his ruddy skin. But that's not what it says. Im yefeh enayim. All we know is that he has nice eyes. In other words, he knows how to see well. V'tov ro'i doesn't necessarily mean that he is good looking. Rather, he is good looking, meaning he looks well. He knows how to see. So Hashem says, this is someone who knows how to see. This is someone who knows how to see to the heart. This is someone who has that yir'ah. Vayomer Hashem, kum ishachehu kizehu. He knows what yir'ah is all about because he has good ri'iyah. So Hashem tells Shmuel, get up and anoint him. Kizehu. How do we know that David knows how to see well and fear well and choose well? So look at Divrei HaYamim. When David sees the Malach waiting with an unsheathed sword by the Agoren, by the threshing floor of Arav Nahai Yevusi, David recognizes in Yerushalayim on Har HaMoriah, David incorporates the exact same terminology, Vayomer David, Zehu. I know that this is the place. Just like God selected me for my Ri'iyah and Yir'ah, so too, I'm selecting this Beit Elokim, v'zeh mizbeach le'olah l'Yisrael. This is the place of Yerushalayim, the place of Har HaBayit, the epicenter of the values of social justice and also of Yirat Elokim. And therefore, God says, wonderful, David is going to be able to establish the foundations of the Beit HaMikdash, the foundations of Yir'ah, the foundations of Yerushalayim. But that's not enough, because we spent the first part of this year speaking about the value of shalom. So Hashem says to David, David, look, you have a tremendous amount of yir'ah and ri'iyah, that's wonderful, but you can't build my Beit HaMikdash. You can't complete Yerushalayim, because part of Yerushalayim is shalom. And you have engaged in too many wars. As Hashem says, lo tivne bayit l'shmi ki damim rabim shafachta arza lefanai. Instead, you will have a son, Kishlomo Yeshmo, Vishalom Vishiket, Etein al Yisrael Biyamav. And he will serve as the bastion for peace. Hu Yivne Bayit Lishmi, he will complement your foundations of Yir'ah. Hu Yali Leven Vanilolaav, Vachinoti, Kise Malchuto al Yisrael Arulam. And that's what will strengthen and establish Yerushalayim forever and ever. We need the foundation of Yir'ah, of Yerushalayim. But now we go back to the first Midrash. Hashem says, I can't have one without the other. I need both values to represent the religious persona of Am Yisrael. We're people of Yir'ah. We're people of strong religious convictions. We're people that understand HaMakom Asher Yivchar Hashem, and that this is a city more than any other geographic or conceptual place in the world that reminds us of our mandates that have to be followed, the mandates of God. This is a city that reminds us of our worshiping of God. It's the city that reminds us of the values that ultimately connect us and allow for a dynamic relationship with God. But it's also the city that serves as the foundation of shalom, that serves as the basis of our ultimate belief and our desire for peace and justice and social righteousness. And therefore, Hashem says, that will be complemented by Shlomo. And once Shlomo literally complements and completes Yerushalayim with Shalom, then this is going to be an everlasting city. Until that time, it's not an everlasting city. The Mishkan, the Mizbeach, can move from place to place. But when you have these two together, then they literally seep into the nature of the city and thereby express themselves throughout all of Am Yisrael. And that's why, if you notice, one of the most beautiful brachot that we offer in Tehillim, the Mishorer speaks of Ashrei Ha'ish, Gena, which type of person? Ashrei Kol Yirei Hashem Holech B'drachav. You have to start with Yirah. You have to start, when you think of Yerushalayim, with the religious value of fearing God. Lucky, praiseworthy is the person who knows, who understands Ha'olech B'drachav, how to walk in the path of Hashem, how to follow the mandates, ben adam lamakom, between man and God. Yigia kapacha ki tochel, ashrecha v'tov lach. Don't worry. Yeah, if you follow all these mitzvot, good things will come to you. Ishtecha ki gefen poriya b'yarkitei betacha, banacha kishtelei zeitzim saviv l'shulchanacha, hinei kechein yivarach gever yirei Hashem. You'll have a fruitful household, a blessed home, and this is a blessing for Yirei Hashem. And really, he could have ended here. But he knows that that is not the epitome of a blessing. Yevarechacha Hashem mitzion. What is the greatest bracha? The bracha of Yerushalayim. And what is the bracha of Yerushalayim? What is the tuv Yerushalayim that we should merit to see all the days of our lives? Urei vanim levanacha, shalom al Yisrael. To appreciate the value of shalom. That is the ultimate blessing that completes and complements Yerushalayim. That is what we understand to be the focus of Yerushalayim. When we think of Yerushalayim, especially as we anticipate the 50th anniversary of the reunification of Yerushalayim, we should think not just of the political reunification of Yerushalayim, we should think literally of the reunifications, Ir Shechubra LaYachdav, the reunification of the values of Yerushalayim, the conjugation of Yirah and Shalem, the stories of Akedat Yitzchak, and the stories of Malki Tzedek against the personality of stone. We should remember the reunifying of our own values. We should remember and anticipate what the religious dreams and blessings are all about. We should remember what stands really as the basis, as the bastion of Jewish identity. We have to be reminded as to what really is again, our basic consciousness, the values of Yirah and Shalom, one that cannot survive, and one that really is not going to have as much value without the other. That is Rat Hashem, not only this Pesach, and not only as we anticipate then the days of Sfirat HaOmer to the days of Matan Torah, but as we go from one Chag of Geula to the next, as we go from the Chag, one can argue more of the physical emancipation to the spiritual emancipation, to remember that we have to pass through Yom Yerushalayim, the day that will remind us, Be'ezrat Hashem, of the ultimate religious values of Am Yisrael. Ure'e b'tub Yerushalayim kol yimei chayecha. If we understand that we can see, and we're sensitive to the Yirah, to all of those religious mandates of God, then Be'ezrat Hashem will be zocha this year as well. Lerota b'tuv Yerushalayim, u're'e banim levanacha, shalom al Yisrael. Chag Sameach.